responsively. Selection 96. Hath the Lord as great offering, as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, and Lord will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain. Gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks this day for the providences that bring us to this day and this place. We thank thee for life, for health, for vision that calls us on, for the assurance of thy presence all along the way. Give us open minds and hearts to receive of thy grace and of thy gifts. Teach us more and more to discern thy will and not to impose or try to impose our wills upon thine. Grant, we pray, a consciousness of our calling and a deep consecration to it. Help us always to remember him who calls us and who leads us, that he was not ashamed to descend among men, that he endured the passions and the conflicts, the trials and the temptations of life, yea, that he endured the cross because of his vision, of the effect of his consecration upon the achievement of thy purposes. So may we consecrate and trust in thy ways. Enlarge our minds to understand, to know and to understand the needs of all the people around the world. Help us to learn to live in this world which has been brought so much closer together. Give us hearts that are large enough to love even as our Master loved, sometimes when there is disagreement of mind and of purpose. Make us, we pray, true ministers. We ask thy special blessings upon those whom we know and love, who suffer bereavement and loss and sadness. Be with Brother Phillips in these dark hours of his day. Be with the family of Brother Shaw in ways that we know not how to ask. May thy grace prove sufficient for their every need. Bless him who shall come to us this morning with words concerning thy will and our work. Give him right heart and apt tongue, and bless us all together as we listen and worship and pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Brethren, I am happy to be back with you once more. I've been down in Georgia for about 8 days, South Carolina and Georgia. I can assure you that things look mighty good down in Georgia, and that at least in that little city of Commerce, which is in northeast Georgia, we have many friends of this seminary and a marvelous amount of goodwill. I want to ask earnestly that you remember me as I travel this fall. This is 1 year and six when our seminary is responsible to visit and talk about seminaries to the conventions along the West Coast, on in toward Oklahoma from the West. And I shall be gone between 4 and 5 weeks, beginning this coming Saturday morning. It is important that the West understand and love the East in those two parts of our convention, and of course that the East strive to understand and love and work with those in the West. I intend to be, to the best of my ability, an ambassador of goodwill for this seminary and for our brotherhood in this section of the convention. I know that I shall see things that will astound me out there in that almost unbelievable development of the West and the Northwest. I shall be in Washington beginning next Monday, Washington State, and then down into California and Arizona and New Mexico and Oklahoma. It is very important in these days that the work and purpose of the ministry be clarified in the minds of all of us, for these are truly testing days, and we may go to enlargement of mind and spirit, or we may fall back into the evils of narrowness and partisanship. Remember me as I try to be an ambassador for God and for His work. And remember always that I shall be thinking about you and praying that the work of this seminary go forward in every way. This year, our 10th year, we are having many guests, and I hope that the number will increase, accelerate rather than decrease or decelerate. By good fortune, we have today two brethren from the Department of Church Architecture of the Sunday School Board. Dr. Roland Crowder, who is on my right, is the associate in that department, and Dr. W.A. Harrell, who is right behind me, is the secretary of that department. They will both be here today and tomorrow, and will be available to any of you who might want to talk with them about problems of church building and so on. You may see the secretary, Professor Hendricks, and she will schedule a time for you to confer. Dr. Harrell has long been with Southern Baptist, almost as long as I have, judging from his hair, and has done a yeoman service for us in the improvement of the building facilities. We're happy that he can worship with us this morning and talk to us as he pleases. Dr. Harrell.
Thank you, Dr. Staley. And certainly each one of you in this presence this morning in this beautiful chapel. I am not unmindful of the privilege that you extend, the president extends, and the faculty, you, here this morning. And I'm grateful to you. Certainly I honor those who make Southeastern Seminary all that it is. And we are coming more and more to realize the very significant part that this seminary has in the thinking and in the molding of the attitude and spirit, work, task, the opportunities of spiritual forces in our land today. We thank you for the invitation to be here these 2 days. Certainly all at the Sunday School Board of our convention extend greetings to you. Many of them do have an opportunity to come during the year and see you. And those of us who come by your invitation are doubly grateful, because we want to join the faculty in all that they are doing every day and week and throughout the years that you're here and the years before and the years to come. We join them heartily, support them. And then to say to you, as you plan for your leadership in churches and in Christian life, living, that anything in the world that we have that is desirous on your part, that will be helpful, we wish to make it available. Dr. Crowder and I do represent the forces that are thinking and planning, hoping that our church buildings will be a support to all that we wish to undertake in our churches, in our whole denominational life. And so to come and talk about them is a delight. In this morning, a few minutes, I would hope somewhat of a dedication in our own minds and hearts, somewhat of a desire, of a direction, of a hope, even a prayer regarding our work, regarding our buildings. I'm thinking of verses that are in 1 Corinthians and in the 3rd chapter. Paul is not writing about a house here. He's not writing about any house that any builder will construct. He uses the word building, and yet it can be applied to the very thing I think that we're thinking about without doing violence. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Paul did not talk about buildings. And yet, I think if he were to speak actually of a house, he would say certainly that all of us are dependent on the other, and that those who go before, and that those who lay foundations, and that those who make preparations are as necessary and will receive as much glory as those who actually see the fruition of the construction of a house or the completion of the task, whatever has been started, whatever is added, and then the way it's used. Now the dedication that I would hope for in my own heart and in yours, even as we think of the houses that we have and the houses that are needed and the houses that are to come, is that we would desire a house that would be to the glory of God, a house dedicated to Him. It is not just a matter of building church houses for the churches in North Carolina or South Carolina or Georgia or Virginia. It is not a matter of building church houses just here in our own territory that we might know so well. And yet, my friends, you and I, and our generation, are obligated through our very houses to bear testimony and to point a direction for Christ, for Christianity, to build on what the fathers have given us, to build on what these men and women who have gone before us have made possible, the opportunities, the ways they have opened, the privileges that are ours, to use the foundations that they have laid and to build thereon and to move ahead. Again, not just here, but literally around the world. Many of you are familiar with our Baptist work in other places in the world. And as you become more and more familiar with it, you will realize that wherever it is, whatever the situation, that an impression is made by the house, that an impression is made by the building that is used. And the more you study it, and the more you see it, and the more you reflect on it, then you begin to realize that an impression is there, and that it's made. It many, many times is not the true impression, certainly, of the church that meets in the house. It certainly so many times is not the value or the importance that those who are concerned place upon their work. And yet the influence cannot be overcome until the outside world, until those who do not know, until those who do not understand, until those who are not on the inside begin to catch something of the Spirit. And I would hope that we dedicate in our hearts this morning buildings, buildings everywhere, buildings at home that are needed, mission buildings, chapels, buildings on the foreign field, buildings literally around the world, dedicated to God. First of all, that are functional buildings, that are buildings that will help us with our work, that are buildings that will help us to do what we want to do in reaching and influencing people. Buildings that will help us to preach the gospel and to worship in the spirit that's right. Buildings, again, that will help us to teach, that will help us to train. Buildings that become literally tools that will help us to perform all that a New Testament church should be, and all that we understand as we study the New Testament. Our missionaries cry out, literally in their thinking and in their letters and in their conversation and in their plea and prayer to God, that they may have facilities, even buildings, in which they may gather people and teach and train and influence and become the kind of an influence that they know in their hearts that God would have them be. As they establish these churches, and as these churches carry on, I would say again, and these will each be so brief, but that there should be certainly the dedication of a building that is culturally uplifting, that is culturally fitting, that is culture of our own day and our generation. Not peculiar, not a fantastic something, not extraordinary, not to the point of catching attention, not to the point simply of being different, but growing out of the materials that we have and the methods of construction that we know and the opportunities that are ours in a very honest, straightforward sort of way, that we'll have buildings that are culturally fitting, because that's the kind of building that grows out of our hearts. We can be concerned. You and I can be concerned for buildings, architecture, that a generation erects, that an age erects, speaks so loudly for that age, even for that generation. And if we find ourselves in a confused world, we should not leave our mark on this world when our generation has passed on by seeming to have left confused buildings in which our children and their children will try to use, but rather buildings that will speak as boldly, as happily, as sweetly, as loudly, as any that we have known, for we have the opportunity and the privilege of all the generations that have gone by, and a building that will culturally help those that come in contact with it. I would say again that my prayer is that there would be a dedication of a building that is spiritually uplifting, much more difficult to talk about, much more difficult to pinpoint, much more difficult to express what might be in your heart and mine. And yet, who is there in this presence that is not aware of the spiritual uplift of many buildings in which you may enter, many buildings in which you may worship, many buildings in which you may gather that has been dedicated to God, that we might search for those things, that we might find those things, that we might use those things to create buildings in our generation that will help us to be calm and deliberate, that will help us to have assurance, that will help us to find literally foundations for life, that will help us to find inspiration and far more dedication than we've ever known to say that even in a house that's dedicated to God, there is inspiration and there is an uplift. And there can be a spiritual power if we're willing to open our minds and our hearts. The things that make a church building an inspiration is that there you find man's desire to find God, man's desire to know God. And you find as man builds a house and dedicates it to God, and I'm not thinking of money or how much might be spent, but I'm thinking of care and love that goes into it. And it becomes the inspiration because of man's longing to know God. A church building is an inspiration because it is man's desire to serve his fellow man. A man can have his own worship place, even his own worship place for his family. It could be private. It could be for him and for his. And yet, because man has a desire to serve his fellow man, he builds a house that others may be served, and that others may come and be blessed, and that it may serve his day and his generation. It is an inspiration again because those who have a part in the erection of a house, all the master builders and designers, all the craftsmen, all the workmen do their best. For where is there a designer? Or where is there a builder? Or where is there a craftsman who does not long for the opportunity to help erect a church house that it may honor God and that he may express himself to the things that are highest and the things that are best? And as we join hands in this glorious undertaking, I pray again that we may dedicate ourselves to having the kind of a house that will do honor to God and that will help our fellow man.